Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Thank you. change.
Music of unconditional love. Music for your soul. It's a long song. I want it to play, but I want to hear the song inside of Reverend D's soul. So we'll have this in the background as we welcome you. Agape Choir, the light chant. Inviting us, reminding us to get to that stillness deep in our center and open up so we can activate our spiritual power. And if you're saying, but how do I do that? Stand by. And even if you know, guess what? You're getting ready to go higher. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good night, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And when you change with the change, you make a difference. No point resisting the change, because the change is going to happen anyway. And even if you resist, hey, you're still going to make a difference. But you know what? We'll welcome you to the House of Love. I am Ade Anifowoshe, also known as Life Coach Ade. The host of the show is standing by. Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. The show is Living in the Yes. The title, the topic, the theme is Activating Our Spiritual Power. We're continuing the conversation. Thank you for being here. Thank you for saying yes to life. Thank you for being willing to be in the light of your greatness. We are taking your call, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. What is the number again? 347-4... Multitasking. 347-426-3346. I'm not going to sing. This is not my show. If it was, I would sing. Y'all are lucky. Yes, we're taking your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears. Bring it. We can support you on your transformation journey. So without further ado, let's bring on Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. What's up, Rev D?
Hey, life is
How
good.
Are you? Life is good, and it gets better because you're here.
You know, It's really good. We may not always like all the circumstances, but life itself is really, really good.
Yes. So it is, and so it is. So we are continuing the conversation, activating our spiritual power. And we invite you listeners to call in 347-426-3346. Maybe you kind of feel like, I hear this life is good thing, but I don't know. I just don't know. Well, 347-426-3346. If you have a testimony, something that you want to share, maybe a miracle that you allowed, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. You can also post your questions, your comments, your thoughts in the chat room. Those of you who are there, those of you who are not in the chat room, you can post it on the Facebook page, which is Life Conversations Radio. That's the like page. And if we're friends, you can post it on my wall or wherever. We'll find it. Especially if you want it answered. You just post a question, we'll find it. Because we are living in the yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. Rev D, over to you.
In my sermon last Sunday, I haven't had a chance to listen to it. It's all usually kind of a blur because I'm so in the moment. But I remember talking about this idea of a question. The theme for the month at my church has been prayer. And my topic last Sunday was that prayer moves me into alignment. Moves me into alignment. And I was saying is that what prayer does for us, one of the things that it does for us is it helps us refine our questions. That a lot of times we're starting off with the complaining, you know, woe is me, what's wrong, when is it going to come, why is this happening again, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But that every question is a quest. Question is a quest. Every question is a search for something. And that we'll find as we go on through life that the quality of our life is really determined by the kinds of questions we ask. I want you to just sit with that for a second. The quality of our life isn't really even so much about the answers we receive, but the kind of questions that we ask. When we start to activate our spiritual power, our questions get refined. Our questions aren't stuck in the muck so much anymore. They're not coming from such places of need or desperation or fear or anxiety. That prayer helps to activate our spiritual power. And we start asking different kinds of questions. We start asking questions like, what's the blessing in this situation? Questions like, I wonder what miraculous way this is going to be handled. We start asking questions like, what do I need to do to shift or to change? Because most of the time when we're praying about other stuff moving and changing. And we're not necessarily thinking about ourselves being part of that movement and that change. When we start moving more into alignment and activating our spiritual power, we begin to notice our blessings. We begin to see possibility where at other points maybe all we would see is lack or limitation. That activating our spiritual power is not power over other people. We've gotten into that idea that power is about over other people. The spiritual power that you have is over your own self. Power over your perceptions. Some power over your emotions. Over your thoughts, words, and deeds. So we're not just a yo-yo on the string of life. We're not just bouncing off the walls and being the residual effect out of all the circumstances and the conditions that are out there. When we start to activate our spiritual power, we remember that we're not our stuff. That's not who we are. We're going through some stuff, but it isn't who I am. It puts a little pep in my step, makes me stand up a little taller, keeps me in the game, keeps me showing up when I otherwise might quit. When I activate my spiritual power, there's a new sense of calm that comes over me. Anxiousness starts to fall away a little bit. Because we realize that there's something that's in control other than me. I want you to catch that. So often we're trying to control the circumstances and the conditions. And activating our spiritual power is not about our controlling the circumstances and the conditions. Activating our spiritual power is about getting in alignment with the divine order, with a right action that is bigger and greater than what our ego thinks it's all about. We're standing in a different place of power. Our ego sense of power is always by contrast and comparison. That's how the ego gets a sense of itself. But when you start to activate your spiritual power is inclusive. Your power is never at the expense of somebody else having power. There's room enough for everybody in God's truth. When I'm activating my spiritual power, I start thinking in a greater possibility how there could be a win-win for everybody. I quit fretting so much that I'm going to lose or somebody is going to lose if it turns out to be this way or that way. Mm-mm. When I start to activate my spiritual power, I know that I start to stand in alignment with pure spirit, with the only thing there is. And in this place of alignment, I fear no evil. In this place of alignment, there's nothing to prove and no one to prove it to. In this place of alignment, I know in my bones. I may not understand exactly how it's all going to come to be, but I know in my bones that there's a divine order, that it's not just a chaotic universe with any old thing happening. And I begin to relax and rest in that awareness. Trust it. Trust it. Yes, indeed. Trust it with my very life. I invite you, I invite everybody listening to have the willingness. You don't have to know how, just the willingness to activate your spiritual power. It means first acknowledging the fact that you have it. That's a huge, huge step for most of us, particularly when we're feeling very powerless. But to know, I have a power, being, I have power, I'm not just at the mercy of everything that's going on, that there's power within me, and I can set it into motion, I can activate it, it's my prerogative, it's my choice. I don't need to have permission from somebody or something to do it? That there's nothing standing in the way of my doing it? That I get to activate it whenever I want to? Wow! Wow! How exciting is that? How exciting is that? And you say, well, Rev D, how can that be? I'm just little old me. I don't have any power. Maybe use people's got some power, but how could you even talk like that? It's so much more to you than what meets the eye. So much more to you than what meets the eye. We're not our stories. We're not what has happened to us. We are not our bank accounts. We are not our relationship, our careers, our degrees, our addictions, our mistakes. It's not who we are. All sons and daughters of the Most High. Imagine a baby, a newborn. Isn't there something precious about every baby? No matter how they got here or what their parents have or don't have or what the circumstances of their birth is, isn't there something precious about each and every life? Life. When does the baby's life stop being precious? When? We're part of that life. We're precious just because we were born. We're born into it. You know, when you hold a baby and you can feel all of this potential, even though the baby's so fragile, it may not even be able to hold its head up on its own. And yet, when you're holding that baby, you know and you sense and you feel. This is life. This is the promise of life right here. Something wells up inside of you and you just want to be there and provide and to take care of and to nurture. That's how special God feels about us. Baby doesn't have to prove itself, doesn't have to do anything or accomplish anything in order to deserve love and be served and cared for. Just because you are. Will you let yourself feel that? Will you let yourself believe that? You are enough. You're okay right where you are. That you're good and wholesome and wonderful. Complete. Nothing extra, nothing missing. Awareness alone causes an activation of our spiritual power. Just the declaring of the truth of our spiritual nature activates our spiritual power. It's already there. You don't have to make it. You don't have to cook it up. It's already there. See it. Claim it. Step out in it. Act like it's really there. That it really exists. Move beyond the questioning, the doubting, the needing validation and permission. Just standing in it. Everybody take a breath. Everybody take another breath. I'm going to invite my host in before we go to break.
I was being caressed by that presence. The place you took us to. Mm-hmm. It feels so soft, so tender. At one point, I actually felt like I'm walking with a blindfold on, and my role is to trust, even though I don't see with my physical eyes, to know that the presence got my back, my front, my head, my tail, all part of me. And just when you said, take that in, it's just... You know, it just reminds me of vulnerability and a place we try to get to, but I'm talking spiritual vulnerability. And just as I release the need to control, I feel held. And, you know, it was like a meditation you took me through. So thank you.
You know, everything in life is made up of yin-yang.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is made up of these beautiful combinations of masculine, feminine. Not just the idea of biological male or female, but masculine and feminine energy. And we tend to make power all about the masculine. But there's feminine side to power. I remember years ago when I was in college, there was this person that I had befriended who was a New Yorker whose family was very big in the theater and in dance. Father had produced a number of Broadway musicals as well. And I remember she posed the question to me, which did I think was stronger, like a football player or a ballet dancer? And my initial response was, of course, a football player. And she was saying, no. No. That in terms of their flexibility, their ability to have control, like over their own body weight or whatever, that they didn't have it. They had a lot of bulk, but she was explaining about the strength that a ballet dancer has. And I'm using that as an analogy of the ballet dancer's strength being more feminine, regardless of whether the ballet dancer is male or female, that there's a gracefulness. But that takes some real strength. Leap up there like that and bend back and to catch and to suspend yourself on a toe. And, you know, we're talking some serious strength, but it's not overpowering. It's not bulldozing our way through life. And it's important for us to learn that strength is not about having it all together. Power is not about, you know, being over to take over stuff. No. Power is more gentle than that. Real power shows up in your capacity sometimes to not pick up the sword, as opposed to what all you can do with the sword. There's a grace, and there's an ease in spiritual power that we don't find in secular power. Let's just go to break. We'll come
back. Yes. You're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on lifeconversationsradio.com. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Whew, call in, share your experience, share your story, share your question, so we can all join with you as you head in the direction of your surrender. Are you willing to cultivate that soft place, that tender, soft place through your spiritual awareness? If the answer is yes or no, call in and get guidance. 347-426-3346. We are going to take a break, and hopefully I don't transcend my body because I am just buzzing right now. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on lifeconversationsradio.com. Many blessings to you.
The world of business continues to evolve, and at this time, companies need an internet presence. For this purpose, meet Electra Ford, owner of the Virtual Office Center. Electra implements internet marketing plans connecting you to your audience online. What is business if it is not seen? For product launching, raising websites position in the search engines, and expanding your reach online, contact Electra Ford at 501-993-6734. That's 501-993-6734, or visit virtualofficecenter.net.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Light Conversations Radio.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Ah, yes, you are listening to Living in the Yes on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Today's theme is Activating Our Spiritual Power. Your host is Rev D, we call her, but Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. She is the founder minister of Inner Light Ministries, and she is turning on the light within us right now. And if you don't feel it, keep listening. 347-426-3346 is the number. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad, and I am going to take the liberty and be redundant. It's very, very important when you share your story, because we all benefit. You add to what Rev D is sharing, and maybe something you're moving through, somebody else gets to benefit. Because sometimes it's easy to look at the Reverend D's of the world and say, well, they're spiritual, they've mastered the spiritual principles, so they don't go through what I go through, but maybe I can catch a little bit of what they have. But when a listener hears somebody else that's like them going through the same thing, there's something that happens, and it's usually translated as, oh, it's not just me. And in that space, you've become an answer prayer for somebody else. So if that doesn't make you call in, I don't know what will. But it is the truth. It is the truth, because together we make a difference. And you can share your questions in the chat room. You can post it in the event page, wherever you want to put it. Just, you know, we'll find it. And and even if you're busy, take a moment to break away from your busyness and be about the beingness of the godness. I'm hinting at somebody in the chat room. Thank you all for being here. Lulu is here. Jennifer Bliss is here. Lisa is in the house hiding, but I see you. Thank you, thank you. Those of you on the phone lines, some numbers we recognize, some we don't. Gladys is here. Lori is here. Celeste is here. And there are those of you we're not seeing, we'd usually see after the show. But thank you, even if you're listening to the archive, thank you for being part of this conversation. Even in your quietness, you're making a difference. However, if you're feeling a nudge or a resistant, that's your nudge to call in 347-426-3346. Rev D. You know, I want to stay a little bit with that feminine power. I was talking to a friend of mine a while back, and what I discovered, and I may have shared this with you before, I don't know. Oh, well, okay. Well, I'll say this and then we're going to take a call. I have discovered that the spiritual practice, it, for me anyway, it's more about letting go. It's like being on a tightrope or thinking I'm on a tightrope and I've been holding on so tight because I think I will fall, even though I'm saying, I know God is there, but I still got to hold on because it makes it's common sense. But what I'm learning is it's loosening my grip to allow that feminine power to guide me and direct me. That's my experience. But I want you to speak on what the spiritual, because sometimes it can be, we can start thinking that our spiritual power means we can get more money. We can get the relationship we want. Our spiritual practice, I mean, that the more I meditate, then I can get the things I want. Even though those things can happen, but isn't it more of an inner release, a sort of coming back to self, allowing presence, the presence, to carry us where we need to be?
Yes, it definitely is. I'm talking about activating our spiritual power. Okay. And that power is about a way of being in the world. It's a certain kind of a presence. It impacts and influences everything that you do. It's not just about trying to get particular things that you think that you want. Most of that effort and energy is overcompensation. We're trying to attract things into us because we need those things in order for us to feel better about ourselves. Power that I'm talking about. And it being a yin-yang, you know, we, in a lot of our real traditional Christian churches, Protestant churches, let me be more specific, have kind of created such a patriarchal God, we miss it. We make up for it some in our version of the Trinity and that notion of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is a feminine energy that comes and comforts you and that speaks to you. I know in the Black Church, we balance a lot of that masculine sort of view of God as law with the music. Music's a very feminine kind of an energy. It penetrates straight through. It bypasses the rational and the intellectual and moves you to a place of tears, you know, or laughter or rejoicing. But it's problematic. It's very problematic. Because we then think of God in a very patriarchal, kind of judgmental kind of way. And it's really not like that at all. Even if we look at Scripture, in Hebrew there's both masculine and feminine. We can't tell that in the English language. And it's full of it even from the beginning. Even the word beginning is feminine in Hebrew. In the beginning, it's feminine. We have this idea like all of life and everything got created out of pure masculine energy. Oh, no. It even says in Scripture, it says, and let us make our image, our, it's a plural there. The Elohim is both a combination of masculine and feminine energies. Even when it says made in in our image and our likeness. One is masculine and one is feminine. When we look at it, and personally, I think it's a slight misinterpretation in the first Genesis story when it says that male and female, that they were created, that we think of it as males and females, as opposed to we were created male and female. That each and every one of us is a combination of masculine and feminine hormones, energy fields. Part of activating our spiritual power, I believe, is learning how to stand in the balance of that. Jesus was good at that. Love itself, the power and the energy of that compassion, that's a more feminine kind of an energy. To embrace, to care, to provide for, to be there, to show up, compassion, that's more of a feminine energy. And I think if we're just looking at it from a masculine sense of just the power to do, the power over other things, the power to make stuff happen and all that, we're missing the beauty of it. The beauty of it, it's both. And I guarantee you, when you start to stand in your true spiritual power, the masculine armor comes off. The guards come down. The defensiveness comes down. The vulnerability goes up. The openness, the joy, the peace, the grace, they go up. They go up. And I believe that that's part of the reason why we have such a challenge in activating our spiritual power. Because it doesn't give us more of the kind of power that we're accustomed to. Instead of puffing us up, it strips us down into our more essential essence, where we stand naked. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes, we got a question. Wow, Rev D, you talked about male and female. I'm like making all loud. I'm shouting up in here. He talked about stripping us down naked instead of armed. Ah, you just have a way. You know, I say this every week, but you know, it is what it is. Let's take a call because you just have a way of speaking to our souls, and I am so grateful for you. Let me bring on Celeste. Celeste has a question. And those of you who maybe something was triggered, maybe the tears are streaming down your face. Whatever is going on, whatever you're growing through, 347-426-3346. And even if you're busy, take a moment to share your thoughts. Celeste, go ahead.
I am happy to go ahead. You can feel the water. You know, I learned a new phrase, Rev D. It's a pull of ancestors. And so when it's awakened, because now I have the words to describe it, I can say, yes, I'm at the pull of the ancestors. They're clearly with us right now. I want to thank you for that. I gave Rev D a heads up that my question that I have for her comes from my re-entry to TV world. You know, a day I don't watch TV, so we have cable now. So what does Celeste see when she comes back to TV world? The Lazarus effect. And I'm like, what? Are you guys going to, you just, what? Did you just take a resurrection Jesus miracle and make it a horror story? And are you flashing John 11 at me? okay, fine. So I went to John 11, and I'm like, wow, this is a really smart movie. I'm looking at the Bible, and it's Mary, it's Martha, it's Lazarus, but this is what caught my attention. Jesus wept, though he knew Lazarus was just asleep. Mm-hmm. Why? Why did he weep?
He wept at the pitifulness of their consciousness.
Oh, ouch. Okay.
I know that's right. Plain and simple.
When he's told that Lazarus is dead, he's told to come. It says that he waited. It says that he waited 2 days before he left. It's very important in the story. They had a belief after the third day, the body, the spirit was completely gone. Okay? It says, I just read you the story. It says, now a certain man was sick. This is the King James Version, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Context here, where he's being called to Bethany, it's just a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem. This is the last miracle that Jesus performed. And his disciples know the deal. Like, do you really want to go to Bethany? Is this really what you want to do? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things, said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I might awaken him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Albeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto him, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And it explains how he goes on. And they're like guilt tripping him. You know, if you'd only been here, and if you'd only been here. And he keeps asking them, like, but don't you believe? Don't you not know this? Aren't you? And it says that Jesus wept. Well, I think that he wept. And my spirit let her say this. He wept because it was such a pitiful sight. Here he is standing there in front of them. They've called him. And all he did, he just kept asking them, do you believe? And they're like, no, it's like if you had been here, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. And He's like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And you my homies. You the ones closest to me. And y'all are tripping? This is what I'm leaving? I'd have cried too. That whole notion that Jesus cried to show his humanity because he was so sad over Lazarus doesn't even make no spiritual sense. Because he already told the folks, look, I'm going there to raise him up. That's what's going to happen here. That's why we're going. And he was very clear that that's what he was going to do. So, you know, this, he's crying because Lazarus was dead. He's crying because this is it. This is the end. And y'all still don't get it. You're still standing around here mealy mouthed instead of speaking a word.
Since we're talking about Jesus here, I wanted to hear your thoughts on this. What Jesus said. Let me just keep it simple. And sometimes I notice a friend of mine actually brought it up one time, and she was asking this thing about when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Mm-hmm. What's your take on that? Because that sometimes is used to divide humanity. And there are people who are, for lack of a better expression, on a spiritual path, because I believe all of life is spiritual, think, well, you know, there's this sort of thinking maybe they're doing the wrong thing, but what they're hearing in New Thought and metaphysics speaks to their souls. But this statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, kind of does a number to people's mind. Can you speak in that?
Well, yeah. It's in the language. It's in the language. This I am the way, path. The Greek word is methoda, from which we get method or methodology. Like a process. Think that there's a way that things happen. It's not a gatekeeper. It's not you got to go like by me or through me. It's the way that I am being is a method. This understanding that you are connected. This I am the truth. This is not, this truth is, it would be like the real deal. You know, it's like when we say, is it live or is it Memorex? This, it's described as the, it's like the truth that's underlying, not a shadow, not just an image, but like the real deal, you know, something that you can count on. This light, or sometimes people even say the life, it's an energy field, present very now. This idea of comes to the Father, it isn't goes to the Father. Okay? It's a coming, and that's that word come that's used there is a very
powerful word, because it means to sort of get into right relationship with something. It's the same come that's used in the prodigal son, where there's that pivot moment when the prodigal son, it says, and he came to himself, that he realized something deep down within. Okay? No one comes to the Father, and in this instance, the Father is this relationship. It's not about heaven and my mind at all. It says, but by me is not just like me as a person, but this way that if you want to experience God, if that's what you want to do, you have to do it in truth. Like when he told Nicodemus, you know, you got to be born again, spirit and truth. There is a way to go about doing this. It's like imitate me, mimic me, be kind, be compassionate, be loving, be gentle. Understand that it's not about you, but it's the God presence within. And if you do this, then you'll get it. You'll see it. It's just like he told Nicodemus. He says, unless you do this, unless you're born, it says again, but it's really born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This kingdom of God is not someplace else out there, but you won't see the goodness that's right here. That's right here, which this right now. Part of the problem here, and you know, I don't know if we're going to spend all our time being biblical, but let me just say that part of the problem here is that the Bible has two different Jesuses. There's a historical Jesus, or what they call like the pre-Easter Jesus, and there's the post-Easter Jesus. Most of it in John is the post-Easter Jesus. But the historical Jesus, who was walking amongst the people and healing them and all the rest of that, never, ever, ever required people to do anything about him in order to be healed. He never said, you have to believe in me. It was always just the opposite. Why are you even calling me good? It isn't me. He was not saying to people, okay, looky here. They're going to crucify me a little later, and I'm going to come back. Now, if you believe that after they crucify me and I come back, now, if you really believe that, then I'm going to heal you today. There was never a requirement for people to believe anything about him, for them to convert to Judaism, nothing. It was always your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. So there's this way where for political and theological reasons, a lot of stuff got twisted later on in terms of the way that it is being presented as to make Jesus a divine exception instead of the divine example. He said, greater things will you do than what I'm doing. I'm not the end all, the be all here. You'll do greater things. Be inspired by my life. But he didn't let people worship him. inconsistent.
So Jesus knew that he was the great example, not yes. the exception.
But that's mm-hmm. what he always said, all the time. It's our Father, it's us. It's all of us. And when you don't do unto the least, it's doing it unto me. There was nothing haughty and puffed up about him. That I'm all that. I mean, even at his trial, you know, you the king of Jews, and it's like, hey, I ain't even got nothing to say to you. You know, that's what all of y'all say. I ain't got nothing to say. This divisiveness is so unchristian. Jesus was not divisive. Story after story after story is him crossing over the lines, whatever they are, preaching to everybody, Jews and Gentiles, hanging out with the harlots, the tax collectors, saying it was a Roman officer who had more faith than anybody in all of Israel. Speaking to a woman at the Samaritan, saying a Samaritan who was like the arch rival, you weren't even supposed to speak of them. They're the best neighbor. Women bleeding, untouchable. It's like, uh-uh. He felt virtue go out of him when this woman touched the hem of his garment. This is virtue in the King James Version, but it's power. So he knew somebody tapped right into him. Mary Magdalene got a bad rap. And historical evidence is showing she was probably his prime disciple. And certainly the one that he first appeared to, according to the story, in the resurrection. You know, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, to back up Jesus being divisive. He preached outside because most people weren't allowed in the temples. And he spoke to everybody, which was against the law. You weren't supposed to share the Torah and the text with anybody that wasn't Jewish. And he's like, why would you hide your light? So this divisive thing, it just, I don't think Jesus would be happy about it at all.
You're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on lifeconversationsradio.com. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad. And as I said earlier, you can share your questions, your comments, your thoughts in the chat room, on Facebook, and email if you want, if you can figure it out. We are going to take a quick break and be back. When we come back, Rev D, I want you to speak on the role of the physical body in activating our spiritual powers. Because sometimes we neglect our bodies and we're just trying to get the mind right. So when we come back, can you speak on that?
Okay.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
I'm tired of running from my life.
Hello, family. I'm Celeste Morgan, host of The Celestial Show, and I want to invite each and every one of you to join me on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to receive divine messages through tarot, numbers, and my intuition. Break out to the other side with laughter and information you can use to get the life you truly want to live. Remember, that's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'll see you there.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and time outs to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
There are people in the world who make you feel that no matter how bad things are, you're going to make it. That though times are tough and the road looks rough, somehow you're going to reach your goal regardless of what you believe. That's what the 1-2 family is striving for. To be the voices that never say never, and never tire of saying, you're going to make it. Join us, 1-2 Radio, 1-2 Listen, and 1-2Academy.com. We believe in you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
You are listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson, Rev D as we call her. Today's topic, today's theme is activating our spiritual power, and we're covering it all. Bible scriptures, spiritual truth you can use, sacred medicine for your spiritual growth and transformation. So whatever question, whatever thought, maybe you just want to share something. Maybe you've been listening to the show and something was triggered, something you're struggling with. You got a few minutes to call in, 347-426-3346, and make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Rev D, before I elaborate on my question, is there anything that's going on at Inner Light Ministries or something that you're doing that you want our listeners to know about?
Yes, there is. there is a virtual class that I'm going to be starting next week, actually. We're going to be on, let me make sure I have that right date. It starts on Thursday morning, and it'll be at noon. Actually, it's my morning at 9 a.m.
Okay.
That'll be noon Eastern time, and that is going to start on the 5th, March 5th. The class is called The Power of Intention. The Power of Intention. It's going to be for 5 consecutive Thursdays. It's 90 minutes. And you can learn more about it by contacting my office. You can either contact me, Rev D, at InnerLightMinistries.com, or my assistant, Leah, at InnerLightMinistries.com, and we'd be more than happy to send you all of the information. You're going to be joining my Pioneers group, the ones that are working with me for a year. It's not too late to sign up to join with them. And in this class of Power of Intention, we're going to be learning how to bring it all into alignment. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, our emotions, our vibrations, our vibrational field, how to line it all up so we stop being at cross purposes with ourselves.
Yeah, I'm looking on your website here. So listeners, to find out more information, go to innerlightministries.com, innerlightministries.com, and click on education, classes. Click on education, and then there'll be another button. Push that, click it. then you see the power of intention, and you can find out more information, send an email, register, and everything that you need. And if you're so inclined...
Yeah, there is a live version, an in-person version that happens on Wednesday nights. That's actually going to kick off tomorrow night. And the virtual version, which we will do through some nice platforms where we can all see each other and talk to each other and have all our materials there, will start on the 5th at noon Eastern time.
Okay. Yeah. So you got all the information in InnerLightMinistries.com. Click on education. There'll be a drop menu, classes. Click on that and you have everything you need to know. Okay. We got a few minutes to go before we release the show. I want to ask you about the body, the role of the body, because we tend to ignore the body. We forget to exercise it or take it for granted. And I want to ask you to speak on how the body plays an important role in activating our power. And then we have a question in the chat room as well.
Well, the body is very important. And once again, this is one of the legacies, unfortunately, that we have grown into in the way in which our Protestant and Catholic, for that matter, but particularly Protestant, you know, values have been driven, that the body has been seen as carnal and fleshy and somehow something not to be trusted. So you're to control it and not pay that much attention to it becomes a very intellectual thing where we're trying to override it lest we give in to our body's weaknesses and its lusts and this kind of thing. But we are one whole person. We are one whole person. And we're just pure energy. And all of it is so incredibly intertwined. It is incredibly intertwined. Everything in our body, our cells are thinking cells. Literally, thought just doesn't happen in the brain, but the same kinds of chemicals that are released in our brains, the same kind of pattern, all of our organs do the same thing. So there's this incredible, it's like an orchestra or something that's going on. And our bodies with their whether they're kicking off pheromones of fear or whether they're, you know, happy endorphins, our thoughts are manifesting not just in the outer world but in our body temple as well. And you can't leave your body behind. Body has to come with us. And a weak body will stand in the way of your being able to
accomplish some of the things that you're called to accomplish. That we have to care for all of it. Your body is your sanctuary. It is the place where you live. It is divinely ordered and made. One of the most incredible creations on the planet. And we're called to be good stewards of it. We absolutely cannot leave it behind. And we here in the United States have really got to get on it. We have so many things going on, from hypertension to, you know, heart disease and all kinds of, you know, cancers and obesity. And my God, we got to get with it. We got to get with it here. Make sure we're eating healthy foods, getting plenty of exercise. We're lagging behind. The United States is actually lagging behind most of the industrialized world on any kind of health matrix or measurement. And in the long run, it's going to get in our way. And I'm not saying this as criticism for, you know, any particular person. All I'm saying is that your sense of power will go up physically as well as mentally, emotionally, and spiritually if you pay attention to your body as well.
Thank you. So here's a question from the chat room. Sun Goddess Bliss, also known as J Bliss. She said, Rev D, as I grow and expand, I sometimes struggle with being in flow of allowing and not pushing or forcing positive change. Can you speak on this for me? Thank you in advance.
Yes. It's not personal. Everybody that I know of struggles with this. Part of the pushing is an impatience that we have gotten into, particularly in our society, where we want everything fast. We want everything instant. And we want it all now. I'm thinking now of the words of Lao Tzu in the Tao Te Ching, where he says, rushing a project to completion, we ruin what was almost ripe. We ruin what was almost ripe. Breathe. That's what we have to do, is develop some patience and some trust. Because we may want it to all unfold right now, but we're not the only ones involved. There are other people in other circumstances and other conditions, and all of it needs to be primed. All of it needs to be ready in order for the fullest blessing to be experienced. Okay, you may be ready, but maybe you're not the only one who's going to benefit from that blessing. You know? We don't know the timing, and we don't understand the timing. And our tendency is to want to feel like we're in the meantime. There's me here, and then there's this thing that I'm waiting for, and I'm just waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm impatient, and when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? As though today is incidental. As though today is just a stepping stone till tomorrow. And one of the biggest things I can say for all of us is be present today. Be present to every moment. Every moment has a gift. And if we're willing to be in gratitude every moment of every day, then we're not spending so much time trying to hurry the future into fruition. Because we're so busy rejoicing today. Remember the power of now. the beauty of now. And whenever we're getting to that anxiousness like that, we have forgotten now. We've devalued now. This analogy is coming up to me right now. When you're a parent, and sometimes you can be, we can be very anxious to get on with it. You know, when is this kid going to grow up? You know, when are they going to feed themselves? When are they going to get out of this teenage rebellion? When are they going to do this? When are they going to do that? And then we turn around and we look and boom, it's over. They're grown and they're gone. You know? And what a difference it makes. It's like, yeah, you know, we want them to grow. But what a difference it makes when we can enjoy their company wherever they are. At 6 months, at 6 years, at 16 years, 26 years, just qualitatively, life is different when we don't feel like we're just waiting for something else. Enjoy today. Because in the long run, that's really all you have. You can't do anything tomorrow. It's always today. Live the now.
Live the now. Live in the yes. Embrace what is. Because that's all there is.
That in the Sermon on the Mount. Let the morrow take care of the morrow.
Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, when we remember that, when we find ourselves pushing, that lets us know that we're not in it now because we're pushing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Jay Bliss said, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
She feels it. She took it in. It's almost time to release the show. Anything else you want to leave with us before you move on to your next assignment?
I want to encourage everybody. There's a process that's integral to the things that we're going to be covering in the Power of Intention class and these pioneers who are going on this year-long journey with me. It's a little process. We sometimes refer to it as see, think, share. See, think, share. Just notice the good that's around you. Express some gratitude and appreciation for it. And find some way to pass it on. To allow other people to also experience some of that goodness. And you will find that it is such a powerful practice. We even have people doing it monetarily, where they're tithing 10% of their unexpected income, just as a reminder to them of the flow of God's goodness that's all around them all the time. And I'd like to just encourage everybody listening to try that on as a practice. Every day, throughout the day, end of your day, just notice all the wonderful ways in which you've been supported. Could be something simple. Maybe somebody took you out to lunch. Maybe there was a special gift that you were. Maybe your car cost you less to get repaired than what you thought it was going to cost you. Your sister lends you some baby clothes so you don't have to go out and buy some more clothes. There's innumerable ways all of the time. And we take them so for granted that they cease to inform our lives. But when we take the time to just notice and to consciously find ways to give gratitude, it's a sure-fired way of activating our spiritual power. There's nothing like gratitude to get you going, to get you enthused and excited about life.
Yes, and I am grateful for you, and I'm sure our listeners are. They're listening, taking it all in. Thank you once again for all you do, and as you continue to inspire us to live our greatness. So thank you, Rev D, and
you'll be
back next week, and we'll continue the conversation.
Okay, you take care.
You too. Peace and blessings.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Oh, that was loud. Let's bring that down a little bit. Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're activating our spiritual power. She broke it down. Now we're going out with this prayer. And the prayer simply is, rise above. Go deeper in consciousness so you can rise above the stuff that don't matter. Thank you all for tuning in, for being here, for saying yes, for living in the yes. Join Ambassador on Thursday for the play experience, 7 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversations.com. And then Celeste Morgan on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. And I will, March 2nd, my birthday month. Woohoo! We're going to celebrate all month long, right? All right, Valerie, calm down. Yes, you got to see with love. Got to rise above. And my theme for my show next month is birthing divine ideas. So we're going to have a pregnant mother, mothers who've given birth, and what else? A doula talk about the journey of being pregnant with a baby and parallel with when we're pregnant with divine ideas. This is Valerie Joy. You can find out more about Valerie's work by going to iTunes or her website address, which is valeriejoy.com. This is Rise Above. She's singing the sacred yes. And I am saying, I love you, I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Peace and blessings.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.